Thank you, Jeff and the team, for leading us in that way. And thank you again for just how you've prepared our hearts. It is always a great privilege when I get the opportunity to preach here at the evening service. It's both a great joy and it also makes me quite nervous, given the responsibility that comes with this. But that's why we run to God in prayer, because it is Him who has words for you today. And so let us pray together, and then we'll read God's word and get into it. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Your word means so much to us. It illuminates, Father, it brings light to a very dark place. And so, Father, this evening again, I pray, shed light amongst your people. Help us see you again differently, Father. May your word be bread again to a hungry soul. Our Father, and hungry souls in this room, thank you for this privilege, Father. And so, Father, we pray, meet us and meet everyone in this building where they're at. We pray for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so we've been in 1 Thessalonians. As a side, I'd like to share, it is probably my favorite epistle from Paul. And you might not know this about it, and there's a reason why. Let me say this. I was once a missionary on the campus. I was one of the campus outreach staff. You might not know this about me. Some people know this about me. And it's one that was very dear to me. It is an epistle that I kept going back to quite often as an encouragement for me to get on the campus. And there's a reason why. I'll share some of that as we read, but we're diving straight into chapter 5 from verses 1 to 11, and then by way of introduction, I'll go to the back a little bit. So let me read from us. I'm reading from the NAS, but if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible on your pew. Still try follow. You guys have ESVs, but you'll follow with me. So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verses 1 to 11. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourself know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another, just as you are doing. So, like I said, we find ourselves in the 5th chapter. Last week, Yanni preached from the last part of chapter 4 from verse 13 to the end. And the two are very, very connected. Paul has been writing. He's writing to this church in Thessalonica. And he's got, in his parting words, almost his final words to the Thessalonian church, he's got a few things to say. And he starts off, just like he started off where Yanni was preaching last week on verse 13. We do not, so this is what verse 13 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren. So last week we spoke about what happens when the time for dying happens, that people die. What's going to happen next? You know, are they going to get left behind? Are they not? But what Paul starts off, how he starts off that part, he says, we don't want you to be uninformed. And how he starts off chapter 5 is, now as to the times and seasons, is what it would say in the ESV, brethren, you have no need for anything to be written to you. For you yourself know full well, or you're fully aware. So there's an element of knowledge that Paul is going for. It almost as to say to them, you are defined by what you know. I don't want you to be uninformed about the end times. I don't want you to be uninformed about the day of the Lord. So he is assuming that they already know about the day, and he doesn't want them to be uninformed about what will happen on that day. So today specifically, we're talking about how he does not want them. He assumes they know something about that day. And as a way to kick off, he says, what I'm assuming that you know is that that day will come like a thief in the night. Now, you might be in here today and you'll be like, I don't know that, Sammy. Why is he assuming that? You know, like the early church at that time, it would be something that they knew full well. I'll give you an example. Most of the books written in the New Testament, most of the apostles would have shared about that day, because Jesus shared about that day quite a lot. In Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 35, he has something to say about the day. So if you have it in your Bible, you can turn there. Otherwise, keep your finger there, by the way. There's a few of these just so that you know why I'm saying they would not have been uninformed. So in Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 35, so it says this. This is what Jesus has to say. And he said, I say to you, Peter, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. 21 verse 34 and 35. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come to you suddenly. Will not come on you suddenly like a trap. So he's saying this to Peter and them. Don't let that day come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face on the earth. But keep on alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape. So Jesus is saying to them, be on guard, be on guard. That day shouldn't come on you and catch you like a trap, for it will come. On Luke chapter 12, from verse 35 to 40, he talks about it. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting on their master to return from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him and he comes and he knocks. So it's again that idea. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Don't let the day catch you off, because it's going to catch everyone else off. Matthew chapter 25 verse 15, same thing. Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. The idea of this, and let me read this last one. This is John. John who wrote Revelations. Listen to what Jesus says to John, to the message or the church in Sardis. This is Revelations chapter 3 verse 3. He says this, so remember that what you received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come. Jesus himself says this, that neither I don't even know when I'm coming back, but my Father does. So the point is, it is a message that has been drilled over and over, and the early church knew it. No one knows when that day will come. It's not something we talk a lot about in our age. We don't talk enough about the fact that we don't always know when that day will come. Now, there's a reason that's important. There's a reason that important, that it's important for us to know that that day will come suddenly upon us. Because there's two types of people that Paul separates in this passage. He talks about the people of the day and the people of the night. He juxtaposes these two people. So on this side, we're going to have the people of the day, and on the other side, we're going to have people of the night. Given what these two people know, they respond and live differently and die differently. Given which side of people you are, if you are a person of the day and you have a person of the night, you respond differently to how that news is. If you don't think there's a day coming that will come like a thief in the night, you live differently to one who believes that there's a day coming. That's why Paul thought it was important to tell the Thessalonians, don't live as such. Don't be uninformed about this day. You are knowledgeable. I'm assuming this. I'm not going to write much more about this, because you know the day is coming. There is a day coming, and you need to live like people of the day. Our readiness for the day is seen in how we live and how we die. And I'll give you a good example. Paul writes a lot about this. I was telling the Philippians, like it's one of the letters where Paul writes. So he writes in Philippians and also in Romans, but this is one that we know quite a lot of. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21. Listen to what Paul says. Well, let's read from verses 18b, which is the second part of verse 18 of Philippians chapter 1. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So what Paul is saying is, I will rejoice no matter what happens, because whether I live or whether I die, Christ will be exalted. There's a way he's thinking about life that it doesn't matter what happens to me. The most important thing, this is what a person of the day thinks like. This is what Paul is saying. Whether I live or die, Christ should be exalted. And then a verse that's quite well known to many, and if you don't know it, it's one that you can memorize, which is Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So people of the day live in such a way that my life and my death mean Jesus, right? My life, my death mean Jesus. Like, it doesn't matter what else happens to me, except that Jesus is made much of in my life or my death. In Romans chapter 14, he says the very same thing. This is verses 8. So you don't have to turn there. It's just if you want to jot them down, you can jot them down. For not one of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Whether we live or die, right? That's the people of the day. That's their conversations. It's like, oh man, you're going to be alive? Like, oh man, what are you doing with your life, right? Like, where are we going? Where next? This is the early church. They used to draw straws, is what Acts say. We're not sure who's going to Asia Minor. And God said we must go. So what we're going to do is we're going to gather together and we're going to put some straws, and whoever gets the short one goes. Because whoever lives or dies, it's for Christ, right? It's for Christ. And as they died, we know the story of Stephen, right? As he was sitting there dying. This is Stephen. So, you know, when it's the Lord Jesus and he's saying these things, you're like, yeah, he is God, so it makes sense. This is a man who was a man like you and me, right? Being stoned to death, and he sits there and he can't help but pray because he knows what's coming next for me, right? He says, Lord, accept my spirit to you, but forgive these people, Father. What a way to die. And that's what Paul is saying in Philippians, right? That's what people of the day live like. So let's go back to our passage and listen to what it's saying. For you yourself know full well the day that of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, let's deal with the people of the night. Verses 3. While they're saying peace and safety, that's what these guys say, right? Peace and security. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. When that day comes, like a thief in the night, you know, that's peace and security. That's our motto of the day, right? Like it's a save enough money. Let's get our walls high enough. Make sure that, you know, you get the right ADT, electric fencing. Now there's beams, apparently, that you put on the side that they catch the people. Like, secure, right? Make sure there's peace in the world, right? Like, that's what we want. Like, we push so hard. We spend our hard-earned money for peace and security. And that's on an individual basis. By the way, this message flies across also on a country basis. The big decision makers. We want peace. We want security. Right? Peace and security. Peace and security. While we're busy spending ourselves for peace and security, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It will hit you like labor pains. Now, for the men in here, this might give it hard to understand what labor pains are like. But I feel like God specifically put me to do this verse because 5 months ago, I saw labor pains for the first time. And they're real. And they happen suddenly. Like, it's a little story. We had planned to take photos. I know it sounds bad. it was the day we planned to take photos. The baby was supposed to come a week later. And this is a great illustration of how that day comes, right? Like, the doctor had assured us that, no, it's going to come probably when it's your first one. It normally comes that day or later. I was assured. A whole week before, we had planned to take some photos, and the labor pains came. And oh, did they come, right? Like, my wife was like, Sam, I'm in labor. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? You don't look like, you know, because, you know, the movies also lie to us, but that's another story. Because you're like, that's not how labor is supposed to look like. At least that's not what the movie said. But it's a growing thing. These labor pains continue to grow. And throughout the evening, it just went from, okay, it was one contraction. Now it's like a lot happening. And now you're calling, we're coming in right away, doc. Cause I had never seen my wife can bear a lot of pain. Like, she's not like, I can't bear. Like, it's like first, oh no, I need to see the doctor. My wife is different. It's like, no, it's not that bad. I'm like, are you sure? You know, you've got a big mark on you. No, I'm joking. That's not what I, but the point is my wife can carry a lot of pain, and she was like in pain, and I could see her, and she was holding on strong to the chair, and I'm like, I never want to go. I'm glad I don't have to go through that. Like, that does not look, I didn't say that then. So this is the first she hears of that. But the point I'm trying to say here is that day is going to come like that. Unexpected, right? You'll be planning, you'll say, hey, my retirement is coming soon. That money I put away is still coming. And then bam, right? Things are going well for me. I just got that new job. Bam, peace and security. Whatever peace and security looks like, that day does not care. While you're thinking you're secure, the day is coming. And people of the night will be saying peace and security. People of the day, right? You, brethren, are not in darkness, that day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep like others do. Let us be alert and sober. Don't let that day catch you off. Don't be about the same things these people are, right? We cannot be about peace and security. We need to be alert, ready, right? Ready. Last week, I think Yanni was trying to make that illustration for us to say, it's coming. And people will be like, when the day comes, we will all know. Are you ready? Are you alert? Are you sober to the day? Or do we tend to say we are one with Christ, but meanwhile, we also are all about peace and security? It's a temptation in our day and age to be about peace and security. This was very difficult for me to prepare, because I was thinking, man, this is, you know, we drink from that Kool-Aid, right? Like, we drink so much from this Kool-Aid of peace and security and what the world says we should be about. Verse 7, for those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of hope and hope of salvation. Now, this is a key verse. How do I not drink the Kool-Aid and be like those of the night? How do I not drink from the Kool-Aid of peace and security? This verse here answers that specific question. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope. The hope of salvation. What Paul is saying is, where's your hope? Right? Where's your hope? Or where do you find your salvation? Is the peace and security what's going to save you? When you are going through the most, it feels like it. Right? It feels like more money in the bank is really what my problems need. Right? A little bit more money and I could solve a lot of problems. Right? Or a little bigger house, or a little bit more security, or a better car that the airbags pop out if you've got one of those student cars. So you're like, I'm not sure if this airbag works or not. Like, you know, it always feels like the more peace, the more security is what's going to solve your problems. But what Paul is saying is, no, that's not it. Faith and love and your hope of salvation. Like, that's what we hold on to. Jesus. Right? Jesus. It's put your faith in Jesus. Right? Put your hope in the finished work on the cross. We were reading earlier Genesis chapter 3. Since that day, we have always needed to put our faith in this, the slain lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world that came through Adam. Through one man, sin came into the world. And through one man, salvation came. Put your hope in him. If you put your hope the other side, the day of the Lord will catch you like a thief in the night. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for any of us. Don't let that day catch you that way. Don't let that day, and be honest with yourself. I had to be honest with myself. We are so tempted to be on this side, even though we say we hold on to Jesus. I said, one of the things I said in when I started, I was talking the people of the day and how they live. Their lives and death reflect Jesus. It's what Paul says. And this is one you can jot down. I was very moved as I was preparing and I was thinking, what's a good illustration? I think we can get the life part, you know. We can get the life part. How do you live a life in that way, right? It's something that we can understand. We can say, okay, you know, people who do ministry, people who go and die in the, and share in the uppermost places, missionaries, that's how you live, you know. But the dying one is quite a difficult one for us to wrap our minds around. So there's a lady called Rachel Barkey or Barkley. I'm not sure. I'm not quite, you know. She was 37 years old when she died. Her story is quite, close to me. So she died on the 2nd of July, which is my birthday. So, you know, that sort of makes the story pop out a little bit. But it's not that. It's 6 weeks before she dies, she gives a talk. And you can watch this on YouTube. So it's, I can only say this because we're at night and I hope, and I have a feeling that most of you guys watch YouTube clips. So that's why I'm bringing this. So when you get back home, do this. Look up Rachel Barkley or Barkey, and she says, you know, faith is not, I mean, a death that's not dying, a faith that saves. So she gives this talk to, it's this woman, she's diagnosed with terminal cancer, and 6 weeks before she gives this talk. And I thought, that's a great picture of what dying that makes much of Jesus looks like. Right? I mean, she knows I'm dying. The doctor's given me 6 weeks, 12 weeks most. And the way she takes that on, I'm like, Lord, give me a faith like that. Give me a hope like that. Right? I mean, when she's sharing, she just said, this is what I want my kids to know. Jesus. Facing it. And this is not a woman. She's not in ministry or anything. She was she studied politics and was in, you know, so I'm talking about, like you and me. But there's something different about this woman. She's a people of a day. She knows that day is coming. And for her, it's even closer because she knows if it doesn't come in the next 6 weeks, I'm meeting Jesus. And it didn't come in that 6 weeks. She went to meet Jesus. But she held a faith that was so strong. So strong. So go ahead and watch that. And that's my illustration. But I think, over and above that, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. You might not be there yet. You might say, Sam, the truth of things is I'm more like a people of this side. And I think being honest with yourself will help you be able to come to Jesus and run to the cross and say, Jesus, I repent for putting my faith and hope in these things of the world. I repent from wanting to find security in material things and in great bank accounts and in a great wife or a great husband, that whatever that this thing is for you. If you're honest with yourself, you can repent of it and believe. Right? And that's where, by the way, the passage takes us. Verses 9 to 11. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So we're coming to the end, as you can see. And these verses sort of is a great way to finish, right? Like, it's a great way to finish. For God, let's go back a step. Why does Paul say, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus? Like, why is he inserting that right at this point? And if you go back to chapter 1, verses 9, listen to this. Now, this is, in case you are wondering, what is he talking about? He's been talking about this. This is a theme he's carried from chapter 1. Verse 9, for they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It's what I said. It's that repent and believe, right? Your faith is being spoken of, that you turn from your idols. You turn from this idol and turn to Jesus. And it's being known everywhere. Listen to verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. What that day represents, and he introduces it at the first chapter, is there is a wrath that is to come. We live in what is called common grace. We all live and breathe, and you find life right now, and whether you're a people of the day and a people of the night, you might not even know. Right? And that's why it's important to find out now. Because there's a day coming. There's a day coming that a wrath is going to come like one we've never known before. Because we have a limited time to repent and believe. We have a limited time to repent. That's for our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our mothers. That's for every single human being. And Jesus saves us from that wrath to come. See, if you would turn from these idols to Jesus, you will be saved from the wrath to come. And that day, when that day comes, you will be rejoicing and not experiencing wrath. You have not been destined for that. So now this is to both. If you're this side, you can take in that message. You have not been destined for the wrath. That's verse 9, right? I know that for sure. Why? Because I have put my faith in Jesus. My hope is in the salvation that he did. And the love that he showed me and the love that I can show other people. This is who you are. If you are this side, people of the night, God has not destined you for that. Repent and believe. Be like the Thessalonians. Let your faith be known that you have turned away from this life. Turn away. Turn away. It is not going to save you when the day comes. Don't let that day catch you. Turn away from this day. Repent and believe. And if you're this side and you're tempted by that day, by that side, just know what you have is extremely abundantly more than you can ever ask. You don't know what you have. Just open the Bible. Open the Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what you have in Christ to you. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. That's the ultimate of the destiny. Your destiny declared. If you want to know what God really destined you for, if you want to know what he destined Adam for, and every human being ever since, to live with him forever. That was the plan. That was plan A. That was the plan from the beginning. Be in the garden, enjoy God forever. To live with him. That was your destiny. So if you ever set time and you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I don't know what I'm destined for. I can tell you now already. You are destined to live with God forever. But other things take God's place, right? Peace and security, the things of the night, and we don't sober up. We live like those at night where we live like God is never coming, and he's coming. Repent and believe. Come back to the side and live within your destiny. You are not destined for wrath. You're destined to live with him forever. And because of Jesus, you can. Because of Jesus, you can. And thus, ultimately how he finishes this is an encouragement. These are the words that we encourage each other with. Therefore, encourage each other and build one another up, just as we are doing. Don't be uninformed. Be knowledgeable. Live like this day is coming. Let's talk about it often. When you ask me, so, do you remember, you know that day is coming, right? How have you been living this week? I'm doing alright. Alright, that's all. Like, okay, let's talk. What does alright mean? Are you peace and security? No. Actually, I've been asking God about my destiny. No. You are not destined for that, Sammy. You're destined to live with God. So are you meeting with Him? Are you enjoying Him? That becomes very, very important. Now, lastly, and this is where I started, I say that this book was one of my favorite, and it still is one of my favorite of Paul's epistles. Here's the reason why. So chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, he introduces something very powerful. Paul gives his life to declaring this message. He gives his life to declaring this message. He does not want anyone uninformed. He wants everyone knowledgeable. So for those of you guys who are on the campus sharing the gospel, for those at work sharing the gospel, for those who are doing it full time, for those who do it on the part time, for this is all of us. Why it is worth committing your life to sharing this gospel that no one is uninformed and everyone is knowledgeable about the day that is to come and what Jesus did is for this reason. Verses 18 of chapter 2. I, Paul, more than once and yet, of chapter 2. For who is our hope, our joy, our crown of exaltation? Is it not even you? He's talking to the Thessalonians, by the way. In the presence of the Lord Jesus at his coming, for you are our glory and our joy. I used to memorize that. Like that verse is one that I used to go back to often. It's like, why is it worth going back to Rez and that guy's going to close his door on you? Because man, one day I can maybe look at that same guy in the face and say, are you not our crown? You are my joy. So sometimes when I'm sitting with Nels and I'm like, man, Nels, he came to Jesus in his first year and offenses out in Tanzania and all the guys I keep sharing. Why I keep sharing the gospel now? I had one of my friends this afternoon, Cage. I'm not sure if he's a believer. He talks about Jesus like he knows him, but I don't really think he is. He says he is, but I don't know why it's worth that pursuit. I don't want him to be uninformed. And once he becomes informed, he's my crown, my joy. Right? Not this peace and security. That's who I take. In heaven, I'll be moving around. I'll be like, move out the way. Hey, Nels, come through. Offense, come. You guys are my crown. This is the glory, right? You guys are what I go in with. I'm like, oh, Lord. And because the glory in them is a glory in Jesus, right? A glory in the fact that they are here is to say, because of what you did, Jesus, look at who's here. Look at who's here. As elders, you guys are our crown and our glory. We want all of you to not be uninformed. I don't want any of you to be uninformed. Don't hold on to those idols. Don't hold on to them. They promise so much, but deliver so little. There's a day of wrath to come. On that day, I don't want any of you to say you are uninformed. I want you to be holding strong. Breastplate of faith and love. Helmet of the hope of salvation. That's all I want for that day. It's like, I want nothing else. So that we can live well. And not only live well, but die well. Let me pray for us. Lord, we were not destined for wrath. None of these people in here were destined for wrath, Lord. But we were destined to live with you. That's my prayer, Lord. Would somehow you break hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh so that we can respond to your word. Those who have ears, Lord, let them hear. That's my prayer tonight, Father. It's my prayer for myself. It's my prayer for every single person in here. Father, and would you set a light in us again, this gospel, this great gospel that you have entrusted us with, that we can go forth with it, that no one be uninformed, that everyone be knowledgeable. Father, we are not like people of the night. Let us be sober and alert. We do not want that day to catch us like a thief in the night. We want to live for you, Lord, that we can speak like Paul, that when we live, we live for the Lord. When we die for the Lord. Help us live lives like that. that one day, Lord, as we share about you, we can all have great crowns of glory that we talk about. We're like, Lord, I don't know how you did it, but you used me to minister to that guy, and look at them in here forever with me, praising you forever. Father, help us realize that living with you is the greatest gift you could have ever given. That somehow, you allow us to be part with you. And even in the Great Commission, that's your promise, Lord, that go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We look forward to the ends of the age, Lord. We look forward to that day coming and beyond. We look forward to rejoicing with you, enjoying you forever. Father, I pray that would many in here and would all in here be there on that day. Would we all make the decision to repent and believe? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.